T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Maloney and Fourier.
What about that first touchdown at Gillette Stadium? I wonder how much that ball is worth. Guess who has that ball?
Do you have it?
Guess who has that ball?
Do you have it? Is it with your rings?
Oh, yeah, baby. Who's got that ball?
The odds are you have no clue where it is.
Maybe true.
Welcome to Chargers Week.
LA doesn't watch you. They don't like you. They'd rather watch the Clippers. I mean, come on. We're talking about the Chargers.
Featuring a quarterback that Bill really, really seems to like.
I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
And a coach that really, really likes Bill Belichick.
I just think that when I've studied Bill, I see a complete coach. And I know that that's something that I'm trying to be.
It's Lou.
How the hell do you argue that? You want to wear leather? Perfect. Let's do this.
It's Christian.
You're more dismissive than
I am. It was an impressive win. Okay.
Say I'm more dismissive than you.
I'm not, because I
you
kept
are.
Saying...
It's Maloney and Fourier on WEEI.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Maloney and Fourier. What do you say, Fourier?
Hello, Lou.
Oh, man, what a glorious morning.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wake up to see trees all over your yard like I did, busted fences. I was out there with a freaking chainsaw at about 9:30 in the morning until the thing busted. I got more work to do. Fences down. Marshfield got 100-mile-an-hour winds, dude.
I would say, like, this is the first time ever that, knock on wood, there was no power loss. There was no issues. There was no trees down. I feel like I was like the luckiest guy in the state today.
I think I've been there now 9 years. I don't think I've ever seen it like that. And there's a lot of winds down. There's 100-mile-an-hour winds. Like, I got up this morning.
Is that
the dog
a lot?
Out. Trees were down. I looked up and the trees, they looked like they were fishing poles. You know, with like a 1,000-pound tuna connected to it. I was like, well, I didn't think that thing bent like that. That thing's going to snap. So hopefully everybody's safe out there.
Yeah, well, you know,
thank
God, everybody, the canceled school today, because it's not like kids can't go to school when it's windy. I will say this before we get started:
buses, people get in the roads.
People from
buses,
the
you have
biggest.
No caring.
Listen,
you
it's
don't
not
care
like
about kids.
This is not like we're in California where people aren't used to the rain and the snow. Like,
what
you're
you
in Massachusetts,
trees
give me
in front
a
of the street.
Go around the neighborhood. Honest to God, why would you cancel school? What, the tree goes down on one street? Is that the only road?
Hey.
Wait a second.
I can't
Is
speak
it the
for
only
Foxborough.
Road going into school?
I can't speak.
One freaking tree?
For Foxborough. But Marshfield is a mess.
Oh, my
An
God.
Absolute
big whoop.
Mess. Every
Go
time you
to
turn
school.
On Fox 25, what do you see? You see Brent Rock. 6 feet, water, downtown.
Man, like one major
house
issue,
is down.
And they highlight that person and that tree the entire day.
Yeah.
The fact is, you live in Massachusetts, okay? You should be used to inclement weather. You should be used to terrible situations. And get your butts to school. Like the slightest bit of inclement weather. Oh, no, better shut down the school. Oh, there may be some roads closed.
All right, listen, we're going to get to...
Your kids die, too.
Yeah, God forbid you have to go around and take a different route.
We got a busy day here. We got
Pats
and we got Chargers. Also, Alex Cora is going to join us at 2:30.
Final interview.
Get his thoughts. Yeah, the final interview with Alex Cora. So real quick, I got to get this off my chest, because I don't know how many people even realized the World Series happened last night. Framber Valdez, you know the guy that won 8 innings? Three hits,
yeah,
one
really
run against
good, right?
you. The guy that was absolutely dealing,
yeah,
sweating like a freaking animal in 55, 60-degree day in Boston in the fall, which always happens. Last night he takes the mound, 2 innings, 8 hits, 5 earned runs. Location was awful. Wasn't sweating as nearly as much indoors as he was in 60-degree weather in Boston. When he did wipe his face, he wiped it with his sleeves, not his hands. He went to the temple a couple of times, and it was just a perfect timing because Smoltz is like, looks like Framber's starting to find his curveball. And they put the camera on him. Boom, 2 fingers to the temple. I'm like, yeah, just found his curveball. But he didn't last. He looked like a different guy. The sink wasn't there. It was middle all day long. He wasn't throwing outer half. He was throwing it right down the penis. Mm. I mean, it was like...
The what?
You're right down it. I mean, it was unbelievable. Curveball wasn't sharp. Fastball even cut a few times. Completely different guy. And I don't know. Do you know that the manager, Snicker, for the Braves, you know his kid is a hitting coach in Arizona? I mean, for Houston?
No. I did not know that.
Was there a little father-son conversation?
Because
it looked to me like something happened. It looked to me like MLB got to this guy and said, hey, stop wiping your face. You ever seen a guy so touchy in your entire life?
Yeah.
As he did in Game 5
here
in Fenway?
He had Tourette's or something.
I mean, touching everything. Left wrist, right wrist, temple on his left side, hands through the throw, wiping off the sweat. It was 55 degrees. The guy looked different. And I'm sorry. I know I talked about it. So listen, it's people are using it. Everyone's using it. So be it. But when it's that blatant to me, it just pissed me off. And it's over. There's nothing you can do about it. It just pissed me off, and I have the right to be pissed.
Yeah,
so there you go.
I thought it was a freaking joke last night. No, the reason why more people aren't angry about the situation is because they believe the season is over. The Red Sox aren't in it. They've moved on to basketball, hockey, and football.
It is over.
And it's Charger week, so we know how important that week is. And we're talking about, you thought last week was a rival.
One last thing. Tim Kirkchin tweeted this out.
Yeah.
Red Sox source texted me after the first pitch. Oh, we have audio of it. Oh, go ahead.
One of my sources with the Red Sox called me and said I could tell after one pitch tonight that he wasn't the same guy that pitched in Game 5 and totally dominated the Red Sox at Fenway Park. And it's because the great sinker just wasn't there. Here's a 2-0 pitch to Soler that he gets up in the strike zone. And when you miss in the middle of the plate with Soler like that, that's a home run.
Everything was middle.
I mean, but
now one pitch? I don't know about one pitch. Maybe one hitter.
Yeah, he's in jack.
Two hitters.
Yeah, but my issue is like,
but the sinker wasn't there.
So if everybody,
this is the
problem with the unwritten rules and I don't even know what kind of type of courtesy Cora was extending to Dusty Baker. Like, you know, is it just okay? Honor amongst thieves. I mean, it feels that way. Hey, you know what? And everybody knows it's doing it. Okay, but so don't say anything. This is what got the Major League Baseball into this problem in the first place. The whole checking the glove, checking the belt, checking the hat. So to me, the Red Sox have only themselves to blame because they should have said something. They should have called timeout. Hey, Dusty, come here. Listen, I get what you're doing. Take a timeout and tell him to quit it.
Well,
because if you don't tell him to quit it, then we're going to do something about it.
I think, unfortunately, your manager is probably not in a position to do that.
Well, and that's part of the problem also, because how dare he go out and blame somebody else or accuse somebody else of cheating?
Yeah, we'll see if Nolan Ryan in Game 3 starts touching his ponytail. You know, we'll see if Luis Garcia is going to his ponytail the whole game. Or if somebody told him to cut the crap. All right, what do you got? You worried about this game Sunday?
No, actually, you know, I actually was, but you know, since we get so caught up sometimes on like other issues, and you know, as far as looking at the last game, we forget to listen to Bill, because we listen to Bill Greg Hill show, we listen to Bill, you know, talk about what happened in the game, but on those Monday press conferences, he's also looking ahead. So again, I was a little nervous, but after hearing Bill, like, I'm not nervous at all when he was talking about Justin Herbert on Monday.
He's really good. I thought he was outstanding. Everything you're looking for. He's very athletic, good arm, a lot of poise. He's as good a quarterback as I've seen come out here in quite a while, especially as it fits the pro game. And you know, I don't think you're going to find too many better than him. This guy's really, really an impressive player. I thought he was really good when we played him last year. Luckily, we had a pretty good day, I'm not counting on that again. I have a ton of respect for him. I think he's going to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league for a long time to come.
Oh, pile it on, Bill.
That made you feel good?
Pile it on. Oh, yeah. When he comes out super strong and is like overdoing it, like he has a tendency to do, like the last time they played against the Rams and Hecker, whatever that punter's name was a weapon.
Yeah.
Like that guy, I mean, I get he's a punter and he's good and he changes field position, but let's not overdo it. Okay, when he comes really strong, and just overemphasizing everything and then almost apologizing for how well they played against this guy last year. That's not going to happen again. We were pretty much lucky. We played really good that day. Like, that leads me to believe that he has the Chargers right where he wants them. Right where he wants them. Hey, coming off a bye week. That after coming off a loss, like a beat-down loss, you know, that they have a ton of issues. Like, let's exaggerate the positives, but he never talks about the negatives and how many unbelievably, like, the amount of issues that this team has. They can't stop anybody running the ball at all. None of their defensive backs want to tackle anybody. Derwin James, Asante Samuels Jr. Remember, his dad didn't want to tackle anybody. Now he's playing in the league. He doesn't want to tackle anybody. They're the worst rush defense in the league. And he talks about special teams later on today. He talks about special teams. He's like, oh, they made some moves. They brought a couple returners in. They're the worst special teams team in the league. They were historically bad last year. They're not historically bad this year, but historically bad last year and really, really bad this year.
I do find it hard to believe, maybe some disingenuous, when he talks about...
That's the word I'm looking
for. Yes, because it was the worst game of his career. And I know he's only a year and a half into his career. You know, when that 45-0, you beat him 45-0. He had a quarterback rating of 43. 43. I think it's the only game he hasn't thrown a touchdown in.
I thought he was really good when we played him last year.
I know.
What?
No. Last
year. What are you talking about?
Last year, he threw a touchdown in every single game he played in, except for that one. He threw a couple of picks in two games. One, that was one of them. 43.7. He was 26 for 53 for 200 yards. 49 completion percentage. He thought he was very good.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good. So I don't know. You're starting to feel better. You're starting to think that maybe Bill's got something figured out with this guy. He's like, okay, I know they got a great offense, but we shut them out last year. I'm going to praise
them. This is the playbook.
I know exactly how to defend them.
You should know this by now. This is the playbook. This is the script. Here we go. Let's say, young quarterback. Oh, man, we were lucky last year. We didn't know what we were doing. We fell into it. Oh, my God, this is crazy. No. This is they feel really good about their chances.
Yeah.
Really good.
Cam Newton,
and we haven't even
beat them 45-0.
Yeah, we haven't added in the coaching staff and their love affair. I'll give credit to Ryan on this one. He broke this down like a psychologist, like a psychiatrist. Sorry.
We did some profile.
Yeah, we did
Brandon
a major
Staley.
Profile on the Chargers head coach Brandon Staley, which we'll get to also.
All right, listen, we'll get to that. Okay, but the Patriots, they whooped that Chargers ass last year.
They whooped it.
So, and this New England team, I think, is better. So what do we expect on Sunday? We'll talk about it next on Merlone and Fourier.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Got like a that little 70s roller rink vibe to it, doesn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Like a couples note? Oh, no, it's a Chargers song. That's why. It's from the 70s.
Of course it is.
That's why. I was like, this is so 70s.
You probably were back then.
Yeah. There's such a 70s, 80s, like, okay, roller rink, you
all
know.
Skate, reverse direction.
Yes, reverse. Okay, now girls, ask the boys to skate. Woo! Why isn't anybody asking me? Hey, you know I can skate backwards.
We trash a lot of these fan anthems. This might be one of the best ones that's ever come out of the NFL.
Hands down, my favorite.
This is not better than the Rays are on fire. Are you serious?
Oh, no, but this is an original soundtrack.
100%.
Obviously. So, wait, the Miami Dolphins is decent. It's similar, though. Yeah. I feel like it's the same tune.
It's older.
No, but don't you? If you listen to the Miami Dolphins Superchargers, it's like the same song. It's the same song.
Kind of is.
It is.
Yeah.
Who had it first is the question.
It sounds like this one. They might have had this one first. This? Miami has the Dolphins. Actually, this is older.
This
is holy older. Smokes. When was this thing created? Like the 40s?
7, I believe.
Holy smokes. Yeah, this is like 1918.
No, here comes the good part.
Super Bowl.
Ready? I guess maybe they are different. I guess the Chargers took a soul vibe. The San Diego Chargers at the time, honestly, took more of a soul vibe to it. They wanted to, like, you know, pimp it out a little bit and make it funky.
All right, so we're talking about this beatdown the Patriots put on them last year. So last year, we all agree that probably the most impressive win was the Baltimore win, right? I would think, right? Beating Baltimore.
A tough team.
Thought they were going to do it. This one here probably caught you off guard as well, even though you never thought the Chargers were that good, but you didn't think the Patriots could have put up 45. So we sort of looked at it, you know, and Cam Newton, we're just looking at kind of what happened in this game. You know, there was a missed field goal early from L.A. Then there was a punt that was blocked for a touchdown. I mean, a punt return for a touchdown, right? Gunnar Olszewski ran one back.
Yeah, he ran, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a field goal.
Field goal blocked, picked up by Devin McCourty.
McCourty ran it for a touchdown. There was another missed field goal.
There's 21 points in the second quarter.
Yeah, and in the third quarter, they came out and they went interception.
Yeah.
They pulled a little Zach Wilson. That's what Herbert did in the second half.
Twofer.
So I'm just trying to figure out, like, is Bill's confidence based on kind of what he saw last year? If you think it's confidence, by the way, you know, he's kind of overselling Herbert. But then again, the guy's just a really good quarterback. But it was his worst game of the year. So do we think that it's not going to be like this?
Well,
like, I don't think they're going to win, but let alone win 45-0.
No, but I look at it, okay, so Anthony Lynn is already kind of predetermined that he was on his way out. And that was the worst loss in Charger history.
Oh, it was awful.
It was basically what you did to the Chargers last year is what you just did to the Jets. Although the Jets, at least they scored points. They didn't score a point. They didn't get a field goal. They didn't get a touchdown. They got nothing. Well, now they got new everything. New head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, brand new stadium packed with visiting fans. That's the other thing. There'll be more Patriot fans at SoFi Stadium than there will be Charger fans.
Yeah.
That's the real
So how do they go about this thing? I think your man, John Anderson, the genius.
I would like to commend John Anderson for once again being ahead of the curve, breaking it down for all of us to understand.
But
the key to this game is running the football.
Yeah, running the football.
Yes, I'm talking to you, John.
Because they're bottom five in pretty much everything. I mean, it's really, really bad. Like, as far as yards per game, rushing, whatever it is, rushing touchdowns, you name it. I mean, they are awful, but you know, I always, even though we're six games into it, I still kind of look at, like, who they've played. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah, you were trying to rip the whole, they're a really bad rush defense.
Well, listen, they're not a good rushing defense. Don't get me wrong. But I always hate, like, you know, week three, it's like, tight ends will tear this team apart. It's like, who they played? Well, they played Kansas City. They've played, Oakland or Las Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, and then they played San Fran. And they went up against Kittle, Waller, and Kelsey.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah, they're an awful rushing defense. Yeah. You know, Antonio Gibson ran for 90. Pollard and Zeke ran for like a buck 80. You know, Hilaire ran for 100. But Jacobs did nothing.
Raiders.
With the Raiders. And then you had Chubb and Kareem Hunt ran for about a buck 70 combined, buck 80, maybe even more. And then you played the Ravens.
And they beat them.
And we know what the Ravens do, right? Yeah. You know, Lamar ran for like 60, and then everybody else, they got just two or three guys that run for about 40. So, yes, they have given up a lot of yards. And you have a good rushing attack. So that should continue. The question is, are they just this bad? Like, in other words, if they started the year off against, like, the Jets, you know what I mean? And then they went to, like, right now, if they went up against, actually, Chicago's running the ball with Herbert. But I'm just saying, like, a lot of it to me has a lot to do with who you play early on. But you got to believe that's how they win this football game, correct?
See, to me, I look at it as a, now when you get into week 7, week 8, the stats mean something. Like you can early on in the first 4 weeks, you can say, oh, that's an outlier. This isn't really who they are. This is a better indication of what they're capable of doing. And yes, so the Raiders didn't run as well, but everybody else did. You would say, well, they're some of the best running backs in the league. Well, you got a pretty good running back also. You got a pretty good little tandem going right now. We'll see if Stevenson even plays, but Damian Harris, he's all about going downhill, making you pay for trying mm-hmm. to. And their secondary isn't tackling anybody. They're not going. They will turn it down.
See, but so, much like how many times have you walked into a Patriots game on a weekend and said, "Yeah, this game's all about the offense. This game's about the offense." You know, do we spend more time talking about how the Patriots offense is going to attack defenses? Or do we sit there and say, how the hell is the defense going to stop, you know, Tampa? How are they going to stop Dallas? How are they going to stop the Chargers? You know, and or going up against Houston, it's about the defense. Defense shuts this team down. Maybe a pick six, whatever. They go up against a rookie quarterback. Or about going up against Tua. Or whatever it is, going up against Jameis Winston. I feel like week in, week out, whenever we talk about win or lose a football game for the New England Patriots, it's not about the offense. It's not about running the ball or Mac Jones throwing 70%. It's about how does the defense stop Team X? Or if they're expected to, shut them down, let them score 10 points. And I think nothing changes here for me. Nothing at all. I don't think this is about the offense. We know that whatever, but win or lose, it's can this defense slow down this offense? They got 3 or 4 guys that can attack you.
See, the other thing is, does it matter? Does it matter? So what if they can't slow them down? Just don't let them score points. I think that it's similar to what the Patriots did against Tampa, what they did. And I really feel like that is the mindset moving forward. We won't be able to slow down the high-powered, prolific offenses. They will get yards. They're going to get chunk yardage. That's just the way we have to play it, okay? But what we got to do is be really sound and careful in the red zone. Like, that's the most important thing. I think they're so much better. They're so much more aware of what's going on inside the red zone than they are inside the painted lines, like whatever it is the hell they call it nowadays. But no, that's going to be take the game plan from the Jets. You're going to run the football. You're going to run it a lot, and you're going to play action. They got a decent secondary when it comes to, just straight up pass plays. Their secondary is they're active. Mm-hmm. They're good. They got athletic guys, good players down there, a mix of old and young, and they got a good pass rusher. So, I mean, you're going to have your hands full there, but I just don't think they're not going to be in those positions.
All right, listen, it is a Wednesday. It is coming up on 2:30, which means it's time to talk to the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. In his final appearance, we'll talk to Alex Cora next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time for our final interview
with
Alex
Cora. Oh, this is our farewell
song? Yes, it is. Brought to you by Arbella Insurance and Zenni, the official eyewear of the Boston Red Sox, Major League style at minor league prices. Visit Zenni.com. Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline is the manager of the Red Sox, Alex Cora. AC, how you doing? Lou and Christian here.
Doing good. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
We're
good. Listen, I know. So you've been in the postseason now 3 times, right? Once on a bench with Houston, twice with the Boston Red Sox. You are not used to sitting down watching the World Series when that happened. So what was that like for you last night? Couldn't have been enjoyable.
Nah, I mean, to be honest with you, obviously we're disappointed that we're not playing there. But at the same time, after a few days and talking to players and talking to the front office and everybody that is involved on a day in and day out operation, I mean, we did an amazing job. It was a great season. Of course, we wanted to win the World Series. We wanted to play there. But you put everything in perspective, and we still have time to think about stuff. But it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that weird. You know, I think the days afterward, coming to Fenway and driving around, obviously, not fun days, but I do believe, from the bottom of my heart, like what we did was amazing. It was a great learning experience. I know it was fun for a lot of people. And like I said a few days ago, we had some unfinished business. going into the off season and to get ready for next year.
So real quick, I got to ask you because I know, you know, sometimes starting pitchers have it, sometimes they don't. But what did you think of Framber Valdez's performance last night compared to you guys in Game 5?
Yeah, he didn't have it yesterday from the get go. You know, I was watching that first at bat against Soler, and you know, the movement on the sinker wasn't there, the location wasn't there, and they put some good swings on some bad pitches, and you know, obviously, you look back at what he did against us here, and he was great. You know, the way he pounded the strikes on the pitches was a lot different than last night against us. He threw 65% sinkers. He was ahead in the count. Yesterday was 50-50, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't have it. You know, he was kind of like the guy that pitched game one or two whenever he pitched against us. And, you know, the Braves, they're great against left-handed pitching, and they put some good swings.
You know, real quick, I want to go back to, like, you know, the end of the season, because are you one of those guys that just – I feel like you're not, but that just wants to get out of town and not watch the game or just take a mental break from baseball?
No, man. I'm a baseball fan. I enjoy watching games.
But don't you get worn out? Like, don't you just, like, need a mental break?
Nah. That's coming. That's coming in 5 days or in 10 days. And then the offseason starts, right? And it should be an interesting one. But, we enjoy watching the games. The boys are into it now. They're watching players. There's some good friends that are playing in the World Series. You know, Eddie and Carlos and Martin and Alex is coaching there. So just pulling for them individually and see what happens.
Wait, Alex, I think – I don't know if that Comrex of yours is dying or not, but you're getting lower and lower and lower to the point where we can almost not even hear you. Should we just – maybe.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, hey, look, there you are.
Hey, you're back.
My bad.
Yeah, that's good. I don't know if you were just chilling.
I'm getting worn down.
See, that's why you need a break. I'm telling you, you need a mental break. You need to go away from the game.
Right. So, I tell you what, when we hop on that plane tomorrow, we'll be ready to take a break this weekend.
So, you know, you were talking about watching the game, and I'm just curious, you know, now that, you know, your series is over, do you have any second guesses? Like, you know, like looking back in hindsight, would you do things differently? Like, was it, you know, for any scenario?
Not really. I do believe that we put everybody in a spot to be successful. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it didn't. I believe that we had some right matchups in certain situations, and they took advantage of it, right? At the end, it's the one-on-one battle. And we prepare ourselves before the series. And we decided to go with certain guys in the roster because of who they are, and you know, some of them worked, some others didn't.
Hey, Alex, when you said I think midway through Game 4, they made some adjustments. I think the righties and how they pitched you. A lot of people say, well, the Red Sox obviously didn't adjust back. Was it not recognizing those adjustments, or were they just pitching, you know, to your hitters' weaknesses, basically?
No, they always do that. That's a team that is very analytical. You know, they love the numbers, and they will pitch to your blue in the map. You know, it's either red or blue, and they avoid the red zones. They went out of the strip. You know, that's the bottom line, and they start using the fastball more than usual. One thing they do, they don't throw strikes, and they did throw strikes early in the count after Game 4. And after that, you expand. But if you look at the numbers, their numbers, for everything everybody talks about their pitching staff, they pitch to the edges of the zone. And against us, it seems like they start getting ahead, and then after that, they start expanding. And it's very hard to put the brakes on breaking balls, right, when you're down 0-1, 0-2. And that's what they did. They did an amazing job attacking the zone early, and then they expanded, and we weren't able to put the brakes, and, you know, they induce us to weak contact certain times, and sometimes to swing and misses.
So how frustrating was it for, you know, just all your hitters, like especially the last three games where you guys couldn't get any runs or couldn't get on base? How frustrating was that for them?
No, it was for everybody, knowing that we have a good offensive team, right? There were certain at-bats, you know, in Game 4. I think we had Kyle with men at third and less than two outs, and he cramped, right? And he hit a ground ball to the shortstop, and we didn't cash in. We weren't able to add on in that game. Then the game here, for how great Valdez was, we have first and second and no outs with a 2-0 count. So I think it was a combination of both, right? They did an amazing job adjusting to us, and it was us kind of like going to a cold streak, you know, and it was bad timing. But if you look at the series, you know, obviously it was disappointing the way it ended up, you know. Some people think that they actually they crush us over the course of six games. Yeah, it looks that way, but if you really dig into the numbers and their innings and when they score, they had two big innings, right? I do believe the two swings by Altuve kind of like changed the games, right, in game one and game four, if I'm not mistaken, right? First pitch slider hit a homer, and then first pitch sinker hit a homer. I think those two swings, although he struggled throughout the series, kind of like changed it, and it put him in a good spot.
Yeah, isn't it? Could you say the same about yourself, though, about your offense, about your team, as far as all the grand slams, like this almost like, you know, three grand slams have basically, you know, brought up the majority of the runs scored?
Yeah, we can say that. But before the grand slam, there were a lot of runners, you know. I think with Altuve, there was nobody on. And this guy, he's swinging at a high rate, you know, and they didn't make pitches. So, I don't know. You can see however you want. At the end of the day, they beat us 4-2, and now we're going home, and they're playing in the World Series.
We're talking to Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox. Alex, morning guy Greg Hill had a report that there might have been a rift between you and Heim Bloom, saying that Heim may be micromanaging too much behind the scenes. So how is your relationship with Heim?
It's really good, to be honest with you. You know, we started working at the end of 19, and then obviously I get suspended, and then I came back, I think it's going to be a year, right? A year ago. Well, after the World Series, and our relationship is a good one. It's one of those, like every other relationship, just like with Dave, there's certain things that we agree 100%. There's others that we don't agree, but at the end of the day, we work together and we try to make the best out of it, you know? And I respect Heim, the way he's doing things. Nobody thought that we were going to be in this position. I know he was very criticized over the course of the off season and this season, and then at the end you see the final product, and we had a really good baseball team playing in October. We were six wins away from winning the whole thing, and you know, I learned a lot from him. I know he told me before, he's telling, you know, that he has learned a lot, and it's a good working relationship. You know, I'm looking forward to work with him for a few years.
Yeah, you know, Alex, when I heard the whole micromanaging thing, what I was thinking of is like Heim Bloom coming down and telling you, you know, who to, you know, what the lineup should be and who should start. Yeah, that's when I heard, that's what I thought. And I was like, there's no way this relationship will work. So you're telling me, but that doesn't happen. You guys work together as far as, you know, putting things together, but he never tells you what to do or how to approach a game.
We talk about games, you know, and before and after. And actually yesterday we had a good productive meeting talking about the whole season, you know. And one thing for sure, we use information, we use, you know, everything that is provided to us. But from 7 to 10, you know, there's not a script, you know. We react to what we have. We recognize stuff that we work or we study before games, and the game will always dictate what you do on the baseball field. I think that scoreboard for you know, I learned this a while ago, and it was from Sandy Alomar Sr. He said, the scoreboard is not for the fans. The scoreboard is for the manager, for the players. That will dictate the way you play, the way you manage, the way you go about, you know, those 3 hours, and we do that. You know, we adjust on the fly when we have to, or we just let him play and get the W's when we feel like we're in a good position.
You know, Alex, you said, you know, you have all the numbers, and obviously telling you something you don't know. You know, you look at two guys like Xander and Devers, obviously cornerstones of your team. And the question still comes up when you see some of the metrics, you know, where they are defensively. So how do you have conversations? When do you have conversations? You know, whether it be Xander, hey, you know, a guy like A-Rod went from short to third, or even Devers, hey, you know, Vlad Jr. went from third to first. Like, when do those, do you have those conversations? You think those guys are willing to listen?
I mean, I don't think we got to have those conversations right now. The way I put it is like, you know, you want J.P. Crawford playing shortstop for you, or you want Xander Bogaerts? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the total package. It's the total player. And, you know, Xander, whatever he touches, he turns into outs, right? He doesn't make too many errors. Rafi, you saw what the way he played in October, right? He played great defense, and I still believe he's a good athlete that he's playing. You know, he's getting better at third base. He makes errors. Yeah, he does, but he makes plays out of range too. And I don't know. You know, sometimes we get caught up on the negatives of the players, and we don't talk enough about the positives, you know. And they're good base runners. They're good hitters. They're, you know, I do believe they turn ground balls into outs, although the metrics don't show that. So I'm very happy with Rafi playing third and happy with Xander playing shortstops. And that we have to get better? Of course we have to get better, you know. And those conversations have started already, and they will work in the offseason to keep improving.
All right, so we're talking to Alex Cora. So, Alex, I just want to – it's okay. So the season's over. The whole baseball season's almost over. And I start looking at this the way umpires are assigned. Kind of like I do, like the way, you know, refs are assigned, you know, playoff games and Super Bowl. It's the best of the best. But I feel like that doesn't work that way in Major League Baseball. I'm just trying to figure out, like, how do you fix that? You know, not to point fingers directly at Laz Diaz from Game 4. I mean, just but a situation like that where you don't have the best guy doing the toughest job.
I mean, we've been having these conversations for a long, long time, right? And I really don't know what the process is. We just know that before the series, these are the guys that are going to be calling balls to strikes, and they're going to be in the bases, and you have to go with it. You know, I think that's more for Rob, Mr. Manfred, and MLB for them to answer.
So, do you actually? Is there like a manager's commission? You know, like where, or like a council where you guys get together, or a certain amount of managers get together and just discuss?
Yeah,
these
we
things?
We do it in. In the winter meetings, you know, there's always meetings, and, you know, Theo actually is part of the committee, you know, what things we can do better now and what we can do better in the future as far as the game. So, obviously, I bet, you know, umpiring is part of the topics that we're going to talk about in the offseason.
See, my theory is that nobody wants to tell him that he's terrible because you guys don't want to hurt his feelings. So you don't want to demote him. He's got too many friends.
Yeah, I mean, Laz is a friend of mine, man.
That's my point. I mean, how do you tell him?
He's been working against me and against the teams I play since 1994. He used to, and Lou knows, like, you have big series in you know, Miami against FSU, and Laz was always, like, the Friday umpire. He was, like, the big umpire for the series. So, you know, things happen.
Well, you guys go
things
way back.
Happen. Yeah, hey, 1994, bro.
I wanted to ask you because I know we see it like in the postseason, it's a postseason, right? Where starters maybe, you know, if they go six, maybe they go five, right? Because they don't pitch out of jams. But even we're seeing it more in the regular season, right? And you guys do it a lot too, like in April. Hey, want to take care of them, want to be ready. Are the roles of the starter kind of being diminished? You know, it's almost like you pay these guys $30, $35 million and no one's going 200 innings. They're going 170, 175, 157. Like, do you see it moving in a different direction?
I mean, people need to understand that this season was a lot different because of what happened last year, right?
Yep.
You know, they only played 60 games. The innings were way down. So, you know, what happens in October is just different, you know. In the regular season, yeah, there were some limitations this year, but I think it was a combination of what teams are doing as far as, like, you know, in the training room and medically and what happened last year. So, we'll see how it works out next year. I still believe there's value on starting pitching, especially over 162 games. You know, the whole thing of being aggressive with the bullpen, it doesn't happen. You know, you can't do it. You don't have the luxury of having two off days in 5 days, right? And obviously the sprint of winning four games or three games in October, it pushes you to make decisions based on that. You know, over 162, you got to be more patient. You cannot tax your bullpen. So I still believe the starters have a value, and I think we're going to see the difference next year.
So are we keeping the cart in the dugout? When does something like does that stick around forever?
I mean, they got bobbleheads and they got commercials and all that. So yeah, we're gonna start doing.
They try to get Lou. They try to get Lou and I to go to a supermarket, and they wanted Lou to push me in a shopping cart.
For how much money?
Zero. Nothing.
That thing got shut down.
We're a home team. You know,
Alex. When you look back on this year, is there something or one thing that you're most proud of?
Oh, man, I think besides what we did on the field and the group and all that, just October and the fan base, man, mm-hmm. that was out of control, to be honest with you. And, you know, I play here in 07. I play against the Red Sox in 04. We won in 18. And for me personally, you know, in my opinion, the loudest I heard, I mean, it was amazing. Starting with the wild card game, starting at 6:30. It didn't start at 7. It started right away. I mean, with the Rays, the same thing. With the Astros, the same thing. And, you know, I tip my hat to the fan base for a team that obviously didn't have expectations and kept building something that it became great. And obviously it started with 3%, right, or 5%, and then 12% and 25%, and then all of a sudden – Fenway was rocking. It was nice and it was fun, and something we're looking forward to do next year. I think they are a huge part of what happened this year. I think finally, since you know, it was a real home field advantage. As you know, Lou, when as a visitor you come here to Fenway and you love playing here, right? You love it. Yeah, it's Fenway Park. We're there for 3 days. It should be fun. It wasn't that way this year, and that's something we talk about before the season mm-hmm. started. We have to make Fenway a real home field advantage, and we saw it in the playoffs.
So I'm curious, though, because it was intriguing for all of us paying attention. You know, was it just, you know, lightning in the bottle? Was it just this, the fortunate circumstances that you guys found yourselves in, or was there an actual, you know, effort internally as far as externally to make that more of a weapon for
a party.
The team? Yeah, and a party too.
The music, brother. I'm telling you. Good music.
Who's in charge of the music? That, bro.
How much input do you have?
Me and Carter, we're talking about her, and Sarah too. So the music was better. I mean, it was better.
So what last thing for me? How do you sort of keep that thing? I know a lot of it's out of your hands, but that momentum into the season. I know CBA and everything else. I mean, is it just like, what are you looking forward to this offseason?
Just keep improving. There's a few things that we didn't do well over the course of 162, and you know, the conversations have started. You know, and that goes from first step to approaches to information to how to attack certain guys, the pitching department. You just sit down and you got to be honest and genuine with the whole thing. Don't get caught up on, yeah, we were short. You know, we almost got to the World Series. No, now it's kind of like you got to be transparent, and there's work to do. And the offseason started, but you know, as a coaching staff, as a group, 2022 started already. And it sounds like a cliche or whatever, rah rah rah, here we go, but it's the truth. You know, I'm here in Fenway right now. I've been in Fenway for the last 2 days, meeting with people and trying to map out the offseason and be ready for next year.
Well, it didn't exactly end the way we all would have liked, but it was a hell of a ride. I can say that much. And I agree, Fenway Park was out of control, and it was just a lot of fun to be part of. So congrats on a good year, and I guess we'll
see you in spring ball.
Yeah, spring. I don't know. Four, you'll be down there maybe catching
still,
some more fly
still
balls.
Still waiting
at some
to
point.
Get my shot. You owe it. You owe me. You're like three years late. Eventually, you'll pay up. We'll wait and see.
That's true. I owe you.
See, I know, right? All right. You guys get together.
All right, Alex. Listen, man. Thanks again for the year.
Yeah, great year, Alex.
A lot of fun.
Be well, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Take care. That's Alex Cor, manager of the Boston Red Sox.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.